We have officially hit the point in the school year, and I think also a point in education, where we are starting to figure out what does next year look like. And I have a question that I want to ask you. Do you feel like you are content in your classroom, or do you feel that pull, that lure of leadership? I don't think either one of them is bad or good, but I think that there is a correct answer for every single person. And that term content in the classroom should not have a negative connotation. But sometimes we are on that edge of what does the future look like? Is this the best placement for me? And my friend Jack Berkmeyer and myself are going to unpack all of the feelings, all of the emotions with raw transparency in this episode. And if you feel content in the classroom or the lure of leadership, this episode is for you. But before we get into it, I want to give a shout out to the listener of the week who gave a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. Jenna said, "I truly enjoy Monica's ideas and constant encouragement. It is engaging and shareable with the staff in my school. We have had her at our school once before, and it was probably the best PD that we have ever had." Shout out to Jenna for being the listener of the week and leaving that 5-star review. I love that. I'm so glad that you enjoyed the PD that I did with you and your staff, and I hope that it's making a monumental impact on your students. Friends, if you haven't left a written review on the Apple Podcast app, it would mean so much to me so more teachers, more principals, and more passionate educators can find this free and hopefully incredibly practical podcast called This Teacher Life. I think you're going to love this episode, and I want to give a special shout out to Jack Berkmeyer for joining me. Let's get into it.
There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life.
All right, so what I love about this topic is that you and I, we will submit to each other ideas, right? Some are hit or miss.
Yeah.
Mine are usually a hit.
I guess that implies that mine are a miss, but...
And what did we both agree on this one?
No, I think this is... I think content in the classroom versus lure of leadership is something that probably a lot of you listeners are considering right now.
It is. It is one of those things. And it's almost like, is it shameful to say, I have content to be a classroom teacher? Mm-hmm. And that's what I think this, for me, this conversation is about. Mm-hmm. I personally think that how amazing that person is to feel that contentment all the time in that classroom, to feel fulfilled, to feel like, you know what, this is still my purpose. This is still what I know. This is my jam. This is my groove. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing the right thing. But we all go through it in our careers where we're kind of like, oh my gosh, can I be a teacher for 15 years?
Right.
Can I stay in that classroom
right.
for that amount of time? And part of it is too, that lure of leadership is really designed because of our pay schedules and those kinds of things, meaning more credits, more money, more degrees, more money. And so then you have to start to decide, like, what would I want a master's in and all of those kinds of things. So the reason I brought this forward is because I felt both of those things as a classroom teacher. I felt extremely drawn into leadership. And then the question was, because then am I willing to put the money forward? Am I willing to do that? And so what I thought as I'd do is just really quickly is to say, you know, why did I choose to get a degree to be an administrator, which, by the way, I've never used.
Same.
It is, it's not something that, I mean, if I wanted to, I could go back and definitely be an administrator at some point in time. Mm-hmm. For me, it just wasn't my destiny. And I've never told you this story, which is fascinating. I find it fascinating. You may not.
Okay. The verdict is out. Let's find out.
So this is not meant to be braggadocious or arrogant.
Okay.
I've interviewed for 2 teaching jobs in my life, and both of them, the principal ran out to the parking lot and literally said, please do not take another job. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you you have the job, but you have the job.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So then when I got my degree to be an administrator, I went and had 4 interviews at various times to be an assistant principal. And I was so pompous that for 2 of them, I waited in the parking lot thinking that the administrator was going to come out and say, oh my God, Jack, you're the best thing. We want to have you as an administrator. Do you know I never got offered a single follow-up conversation or interview on any 4 of the AP jobs that I applied for?
That is fascinating because I did not realize that we had this connection. So for all of you listening out there, we are certified teachers.
We're certified.
We're certified something. Okay. But we also both have our administrative degrees. Yeah. We could both be principals. I could also be a curriculum director. Okay. But I've never wanted to pursue that. I didn't know that you had applied for principalships and not gotten them. Full transparency, I did also apply for a principalship position and I also did not get it. And honestly, it pissed me off because I thought, not to sound confident or conceited or whatever, I really thought I'm a great fit for this. So isn't that interesting?
It is. And you know what? I did not take it personally because what happened is I knew I was not supposed to be an administrator based on a couple things.
Okay.
One, I think I can be, but I know what happened was when we did the coursework, when I went through the coursework, we were the largest cadre at UNC. Mm-hmm. Not the University of Northern North Carolina. It's the other UNC. The University of Northern Colorado in Greeley, Colorado.
And nobody thought that that was the acronym that you're going for. So obviously, very famous.
Yes, very famous. Yes. You've all heard of UNC.
Yeah.
Just not the one I went to. Uh-huh. And so when I went through the cadre, it was the largest number of people in the cadre. Mm-hmm. And I remember literally scenarios that the professor would throw out. Mm-hmm. And I referred to the students. And again, it was 32 kids in that, 32 adults in that class. And I would say that 28 of the people in the room would bobblehead answers. Meaning like if the professor said, well, this is kind of how you should answer it.
Yeah.
I would literally see people with the bobbleheads up and down, up and down, up and down. And I remember 2 of my friends, I would look at my friends and go, I wouldn't do that. Like I vividly remember every answer that was supposed to be the right answer. I was like, oh, I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And I never felt like that's where I felt the gap was, is that I was not a good number 2 person with an principal to be, I would do that. I would do that.
Sure.
I'd be the person going, why are we doing that? That makes no sense. That makes no sense.
And we've talked about this. Neither one of us are yes people.
Yes.
Okay. That's confusing. But like, this is something that I think an assistant principal, because I hadn't applied for a principalship. I was an assistant principal. And I do agree with you that like there has to be this blend of yes people where everyone's shaking their heads. And I think that's good for an assistant principal, but you also want that person to bring ideas to the table. But I don't mind bucking the system. I don't mind saying like, that's actually not my most favorite idea. I would look at it from this perspective. I see that as a positive. I wouldn't say that all school systems see that as a positive.
That's true. And the other reason I knew I was not going to do well was, again, true confessions right now. Again, I don't share a lot of this and I'm embarrassed, but I failed the first
time. Should I turn on the Usher music? This is my confession. Do you know that song?
No, I do
not.
It's
probably inappropriate. We're not going to play it.
Is it one that I wouldn't have on my...
I feel like that song, Usher Confessions, he's making a lot of like very like X-rated confessions in that song.
Oh, wow.
Then are you about to give X-rated confessions?
No, these are not X-rated.
Okay, that's good.
These are more like G-rated, PG. Okay. And that is, I failed the first time I took the administrator's test.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I failed, and I failed big.
I failed my content area test the first time.
I did too. So I knew that I wasn't really supposed to be an administrator because when I failed that test the first time, what I did is I read into it of the mind of Jack Birkmeyer. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that was the worst way to do it. Let me give you the scenario. I remember the question vividly. And it was, you get to school, you're the principal, you mm-hmm. get to school, and there is a flood in the elevator shaft of the school. Okay. What do you do? And they literally had four scenarios, mm-hmm. right? Well, I'm thinking to myself, well, doesn't that depend on who your superintendent is? Mm-hmm. If you have a superintendent that is an absolute control freak, mm-hmm. and you're a principal, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
No, the superintendent.
Okay. Dude, you set that up perfectly. I did, really.
That was softball.
Yeah.
Knocked it out of the park. No, you would call your principal because you could not feel empowered enough.
I see what you're saying.
To make
yes.
that decision, right?
Right.
Because there are micromanager mm-hmm. superintendents, mm-hmm. right? Not meant to be criticism. They're just part of their characteristics.
Sure.
Then the other one is that, you know, get with your custodian and see if it's feasible. Mm-hmm. You know, the other one is figure out a way if there are students that need the elevator, how we'll take care of that. Mm-hmm. And the other one was, you know, like cancel school or something.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, it all depends. Mm-hmm. Do you have a really good custodian? You know,
okay.
Where the two of you could literally sit there and say, what should we do about this? What's plan B?
Right.
You know, can we get the kids? There's only two kids that might need the elevator. So how do we get them to the upstairs and mm-hmm. how do we make that happen? Like, I was more into the decision-making process
sure.
versus there was a right or wrong answer.
Uh-huh.
To me, none of those answers were right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't remember what answer I put.
Mm-hmm.
So then what I had to do when I failed it is I then chose every answer that I know I would
the
not
opposite.
Answer.
Yeah.
So if I would have said,
uh-huh.
get a hold of the superintendent, then I wouldn't have put that as an answer because that's
mm-hmm.
what Jack Birkmeyer would do
mm-hmm.
and versus what normal people would do. And so that's how I ended up passing the test is I had to pretend it wasn't me.
You know what? That's kind of interesting. And I know that we've kind of had this conversation because I work with principals all the time when consulting in school. You are
yep.
work hand in hand with principals all the time. But I've personally only worked in two school districts. And in the school districts that I've worked in, what I have found is if I really vibe with the leadership team, if I am like, yes, I love this principal, the common theme for maybe the rest of the staff is not really my leadership style. And I'm like, oh, really? Because I vibe really well. And they're like, no. And so it's kind of interesting because I wonder if I just have a non-traditional view of what leadership should be and could be, and it doesn't jive with maybe the rest of my teaching staff. I don't know.
No,
can you relate to that?
No, I get that. And part of that is when you go into a school, you know, people will say when they talk to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, teachers will say, oh, we don't like our principal or we
mm-hmm.
don't like, you know, I take a whole different version of this. It's like, wait a minute. If you don't like your administrator,
mm-hmm.
I challenge teachers, then become one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's what most people won't say to a teacher who's, oh, every principal we get is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my response is then step up and be
right.
a leader.
Yeah.
You know, as a teacher, don't you want leadership that's great leadership?
Sure.
And if you feel you're that person to do that,
mm-hmm.
then do that. And here's where I'm going to differ in regards to what most people think is I will work with administrators who are fairly young.
Yeah.
And you will have veteran teachers
yeah.
who will say, oh, well, they're too young. They have not had enough experience.
Yeah.
And you know what my response is? At least they stepped up
mm-hmm.
to be an administrator.
Yeah.
While you have chosen the contentment of that classroom,
mm-hmm.
which I am not criticizing.
Sure.
What I'm saying is at least this person said, yes, I might have only taught for 7 years, but you know what? They wanted that leadership ability and they
sure.
took that leadership
yeah.
ability. And I don't think we should knock people for that. I
no.
really don't. But yet we think there's a traditional way to make you head towards leadership is that you
yeah.
pay your dues, you become
mm-hmm.
this, you become that, and then you'll be the principal.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is really timely because I think this is the season now where people are trying to figure out what's my step for next year. What do I want my role and responsibility to be like? I know that this is the time of the year where shifts are happening with schedules and curriculum areas and teachers are getting moved or thinking like, is this the right spot for me? And going back to the original part of this podcast episode where I said I applied for a job in a principal position and didn't get it. You applied for jobs in principal positions and didn't get it. I wonder if we agree on this because I am so thankful that I didn't get it. In the moment, I was very fired up, but now I'm like, oh my God, I'm so thankful because the trajectory of my education career, the trajectory of my life would have been so different. I, to this day, have not been in a leadership position, and I'm forever thankful for that. And when I say leadership position, I mean a principalship. Mm-hmm. Because I think something that's really underutilized and undervalued is when there are teacher leaders. I feel like this is a word that we have to start using more often, is like, if you are the head of a committee, you are a teacher leader.
Team leader in a middle school.
Exactly. That's leadership. Mm-hmm. And so I love using my leadership skills within the context of a classroom teacher position. And I'm so thankful that I did not get the assistant principal position. I didn't get the dean position, because I don't know if I would be content when I actually was lured into the leadership. Does that make sense?
It does. And you know, I'm the polar opposite. I'm still mad, still bitter.
Really?
I should in the notes put these people that didn't hire me, their names. No, okay. I'm kidding. Actually, I would have been a very horrible assistant principal at that time of my age at that mm-hmm. particular time. I don't have a filter now. I really didn't have a filter back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think I would have made a lot of mistakes. But I think what I was wanting was a really good principal to mentor me to become a really good school administrator and stuff. Now, I want to go back to that contentment of a classroom, because I challenge listeners to either agree or disagree with me. I think the generation of content of classroom has subsided tremendously. I think what we have is a new generation of teachers where this is a job and not a career.
Okay.
And that's why I don't see people doing the contentment of the classroom much, meaning my generation, I knew I was
getting
gonna be an
30
educator.
Years in, moving forward. I'm planted.
Yeah. And think of many of those teachers, because you couldn't move.
Yeah.
You couldn't go to another district.
Yeah.
You were there in that school district for 30 years.
Yeah.
I think those will be anomalies in the next 5 to 7 years.
I 100% agree.
Majority of those folks are going to be able to retire at some point in time in the next 5 to 7 years. And I just don't know if the next generation is stepping up to say, this is my career. This is, I'm here for 25 years of being a classroom teacher. I think it is that J-O-B mentality, which is, this is a job. And I believe my generation, there were not a lot of jobs in education, meaning you were a teacher, a counselor, an administrator. Now there's instructional coach. There are people that are in charge of assessments. There are people that are in charge of learning. There are so many other jobs out there that I think teachers can say, I don't want to be a principal, but I do want to not have the content of the classroom forever, but do other jobs in education.
Okay.
And I think that's great, because you're still staying in the field of education, but you're not maybe going to be from classroom teacher to administrator. That was our pathway for my generation of teacher, and yours as well.
Sure. Well, that actually brings me to maybe a really important question that I have for us is the term being content in the classroom seen in a negative light? Because when at the beginning of this episode, when I said, you know, I've been teaching for nearly 20 years and I'm very content in the classroom, I see that as a very positive thing. Because I think sometimes what happens, especially in education, is we hear the word content and we associate that with complacent. I think there's a big difference. I'm not complacent in the classroom. I'm not floating through being like, got to get to 25 years. Like, I am very happy. I am content in a good way. Do you think those terms are sometimes like, oh, that person's gotten complacent, they need something different, so let's shift their subject area, let's mix it up and get them into a different hallway because they've become complacent?
And the teacher may want that, because they do like to mix it up every once in a while, so they don't feel stagnant.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
Yeah, stagnant's another good term to put in the mix there. Like, just because you're content doesn't mean you're stagnant.
And that's not true. In your classroom, you guys, look, Monica has the old poster that says, hang in there, kitten. And she has only 72 days left. I'm not lying. It's
I do not do countdowns. I do counts up. Like right now, I know in my classroom, we're on like 100, day 140, like two of awesome. I count up.
I get it. And I'm going to, you know, I'm getting older now and I tend to get a little more emotional about things like this.
Okay.
But especially about school, because I worry a lot about education. But if you are that teacher who is content in that classroom, I want to say to you from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you. I love you. I respect you so much. because you have seen this evolutionary change of education. You have seen that it is not easy. Our kids are not easy to teach at times. It's not easy to deal with parents. Parents are far more aggressive, far more opinionated. Meanwhile, you're trying to deal with all and they're trying to deal with one. And that makes it so complicated and so difficult. And so I never want them to feel demeaned. I want them to feel appreciated mm-hmm. because without you, you are the foundational pieces of education. We could not function without content classroom teachers who still thrive on it, love it, mm-hmm. and appreciate it every single day. And if we didn't have that, what a mess we would be in. Mm-hmm. Because with people coming in with less than 5 years, quitting and taking other jobs, that is hard for consistency. It is mm-hmm. hard for teacher reputation, and it is hard overall. And mm-hmm. and that is the most philosophical I've probably been in a while.
Jackie, you're crying.
I am not. I'm just getting teared up because I do. I think they are so misinterpreted in our career.
I agree. And
She's been here for 30 years. Well, praise be.
Yeah.
I am so glad she's mm-hmm. here for 30 years because mm-hmm. who the hell's going to replace her?
Yeah. I think his snot bubbles that are happening right now are definitely. Appropriate
yeah.
and genuine. Yeah. And honestly, all jokes aside, I think that could not have been said better. That was like, I think the pep talk that all of us need right now, especially at this point in the school year, is like, there is nothing wrong with saying I'm sticking this out because I freaking love it. And through the roller coaster of emotions that absolutely exists in education, like, I'm not here because, only 3 more years. I'm here saying, like, I got 5 more years, and I got 3 more years, or I got 1 more year, and I'm going to absolutely crush it in the classroom no matter what. And that's awesome.
And praise to our principals,
too. For sure. You know, absolutely. I
mean, if you're still willing to be courageous and try things and take risks yeah. because it's what's the right thing to do for yeah. children, mm-hmm. and you know you're going to get backlash from 2 parents mm-hmm. who send a mm-hmm. pain-in-the-butt email yeah. that their kid was excluded or angry, mm-hmm. you don't cave to that. You yeah. still say, this is a good thing. So mm-hmm. those administrators, I'll work for any administrator. If your heart is in the right place, mm-hmm. and on top of that, you work hard,
yeah.
you do those 2 things, yeah. and you screw up, I'm going to give you grace and forgiveness mm-hmm. every single day because I know your heart is in the right place. So for absolutely. Principals whose hearts are in the right place, give them some grace, yeah. teachers.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to screw up and they're going to make mistakes.
Here is one thing that I absolutely know that Jack and myself can agree on. It's that whether you are a passionate classroom teacher or you are a passionate principal, we love you, we support you, and we truly want what is best for you, your students, and your school. And if there is something that we can do to help support you with professional development, consulting, making sure that your staff and students are happy, then we want to make that happen. In the show notes, I'm going to leave links both to my website and to Jack's so we can hopefully get something awesome scheduled for you, maybe in August to kick off the school year, maybe in October to make sure that you are getting the momentum that you need. But one thing that we absolutely love doing is making sure that schools are awesome and that you are getting the fun and practical and relational moments that we need in order to be a part of every part of this profession. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. Reminder that new episodes drop every single Sunday, so you are ready for your Monday morning commute. I want to thank you for being here this week and every week, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.